Welcome to the Sanctus NYC Message Podcast. We are the young adult community of the Brooklyn Tabernacle, built on the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Join us today as we look to God to lead us into the fullness of the life that he has for us.
So living out your faith in the real world is a challenge. You guys know that? We're all part of the same world. And what I want to do is just take a second to say, you know, mountaintop experiences are amazing and we need them. But the way that you make it through your Christian life isn't on a mountaintop. There's a lot of valleys that we walk through in between the mountain peaks. And you have to learn how to just press through. And so I just want to take a few minutes tonight to talk about just pressing through. And what that pressing through means, it means pursuing God. Here's a true statement. You might not agree with it, but it's true. You have as much of Jesus tonight as you want. Now, that comes with a whole set of complexities because some of you are coming in here and you're like, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the challenges that I'm facing. You don't know the brokenness in my life. And so I've tried to seek God. I've tried to reach out to him, but this thing is just really hard. And maybe like Luke at 14 when we had that conversation, you're just like, this just doesn't really work. I'm kind of here because I need to be connected to people, but I don't feel very connected to God. And so I want to speak to you tonight. I want to talk to you. I just want to take a few minutes and from my heart share a verse with you and tell you what I think the verse means and how it applies to our lives. Can we do that? The passage of scripture comes from Jeremiah, the 29th chapter. It's a very famous chapter. If you know your scripture, it's like, I know the plans that God has for me, says the Lord, not to harm you, but to give you hope in the future. Whatever the hope in the future is, and that promise that God gives, it's not found in circumstances, it's found in him. Passage of scripture that I'm going to focus on is from the 13th verse of that section, and it just says this. It says, you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. So there's just a couple of questions I want to ask and hopefully answer as we give some attention to this verse. So if you don't talk to your Bible, if you don't ask it questions, it's kind of hard to hear God speak. So you always got to be asking questions like, what does this mean? How does that apply to my life? What does this look like in the context of what was being said? And is the context something that's similar and applies to my life? You just got to ask questions. And the first question I want to just ask as you read the verse says that God wants to be found. He wants to be found. So what's the purpose of this verse? This is a challenge by God to you and to me, and he's saying, seek me because I want you to find me. So why in the world do we seek him? Because he wants to be found. How do you say, well, how do I know he wants to be found? You could be here tonight and you might not even be a Christian. Well, let me explain something about Jesus. This verse, when it speaks, it says, when you seek me. In the Old Testament, when the Bible speaks of seeking after God, it literally is an imagery of like him in the original language of seeking his face. When it's talking about seeking God, it's like this personal face-to-face encounter with God. And, you know, it's not like God from afar. It's God up close and personal. There's intimacy to it. And so God is saying in a personal way, I want to be found by you. And I want it to be something where we're kind of looking at each other. And you go, well, that's kind of an ethereal, abstract idea. How does that actually play out? Well, it played out in real time 2,000 years ago when this God who was in pursuit of relationship with us and we who weren't in pursuit of a relationship with him came into the world, took on flesh, and lived out a life that was perfect. For what purpose? He lived out a life that was perfect so that on a cross he could make an exchange. There's nobody in this room that's perfect. There's nobody that's ever lived that's been perfect. There's nobody that will ever live that's been perfect. Only Jesus has been perfect. And Jesus came into the world to live a perfect life so that he could make an exchange with you and I. Because he cares about you and I being able to behold the face of the Father. He's come so that he actually said, if you've seen me, you've seen him. I am the visible representation of the invisible God. What you see in me is true in a spiritual way about everything the Father is. I'm giving face to you for the Father. So if you want to know what the Father's like, you look intimately into the eyes of Jesus. You look at his life. It's a picture, it's a figure of speech where you assess who he is, you assess what he said, you assess what he's done, and you begin as you behold him to understand what he's like. And what he's like is he came into the world to make that exchange, to take the punishment that your sin and my sin deserves, so that a door could be opened up into your heart where his very life and his presence would come in the most personal and the most intimate of ways. Like whatever in the Old Testament was where they beheld God and they, you know, looked at him face to face, figuratively speaking. There were some people in the Old Testament that beheld him like Moses. But for the large part of believers in the Old Testament through the people of Israel, if they wanted to have some sort of a connection to God, it was at a temple. But it was through a veil. It was, God was so holy, as much as he longed for intimacy, there was no way to go through the veil because we're so unholy. But Jesus came into the world to rend the veil, to open it up, to live perfectly, to give to us his perfect account so that better than what's behind the veil, his very life and his presence could come to the place of our greatest need in our heart and abide and dwell. Jesus came into the world that we would find him. He sought after us. When we weren't looking, the Bible says we were his enemies. In spite of us fighting against him, he fought through the mess of our sin. He fought through the mess of this world so that he could make real to us his love. His love has been shed abroad. If you're a Christian here today and his spirit has been made real to you like it has in me, then his love has been shed abroad in your heart. And what we're in the process now of doing is learning how to more consistently walk in that love and grow in that love, because it's what we were made for. And the more we grow in it, and the more we understand it, the more alive we become. Jesus said, I've come to give life and give it in an abundant way. It's not in your circumstances. It's not in your accomplishments. It's inwardly in this place where he's taken up residence. He's made your heart his home. Most amazing thing about seeking after God is he wants to be found. And what he wants you to know is his love. He wants, what did he come for? That you would know his love, that you would experience his peace through that love, that joy would be made alive to you through his presence. He's with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He came into the world that you would encounter him so that he could work everything out for your good. He came into the world so that he could lead you and guide you in the plan from the foundation of the earth that he's had for you. All of this becomes ways of encountering him. All of this, as we look to him and as we trust in him, he makes more alive in us. And as we understand what it is to be led of him, as we understand what it is to know his peace, as we understand what it is to walk in his joy and to have hope for this life, no matter what you're facing today, I don't care how dark it is, there have been moments in my life where I haven't wanted to wake up and see another day. But Jesus has given me hope. Like those days, whatever they were, as Luke was saying before I came up here, listen, hold on to him. You're going to make it. And you're not just going to get by. You're not just going to exist. You're going to live. You're going to thrive. You're going to learn how to walk on the storms. You're going to learn how to overcome. You're going to learn how to trust him and know that everything works out for your good. And you're going to see his hand involved in everything. Why did he come? So that you could know him. He wants to be found by you. This isn't like an Easter egg hunt where it works for some people and not for others. He wants you to find him. He's not withholding from you. Listen to me. Some of you are believing a lie tonight that he somehow is withholding from you. He's not withholding anything from you. He's trying to work through your life and work through your circumstances. I'm going to come back to this in a second to bring it to a good end so that you'll know even more emphatically how good he is and how for you he is. But I just want to start off and remind you from this passage, God is saying, I want you to find me. I want you to find me. He wants you to find him. Will you find him like tonight necessarily? I don't know how he chooses to work it out for each one of us. I've been doing this longer than everybody in this room has been alive. It makes me feel very old. But there's one thing I can say without even reservation. God is faithful. God will make real to you everything that he's promised, but you got to hold on. Which brings me to, so what are we supposed to believe here? We're supposed to believe that there is a God who wants to be found. Well, how do we come to know that? You got to ask some questions, right? How do you know that? You got to seek him. Do you realize that when God made you, he made you as somebody that would seek? You're here tonight and you're seeking. You're a seeker, whether you want to admit it tonight. I don't care if you tell me you're an atheist. You're a seeker. You are made by God. You were made for God. The Bible calls that desire that we have and that longing to know him, we call that worship. We give ourselves to him. We're here tonight. We're honoring him for who he is and all that he's done, those of us that are Christians. And we're trying to look to him and trust in him so that we can grow in the relationship that Jesus has made real to us. We're worshiping him. And you can say, well, that's a little weird. I'm not into worship. I don't really believe in worship. And I would say to you, you're definitely worshiping something. It might not be Jesus, but it's something of your own making. It's something that you give yourself to that you think is the solution to your life. You can't help it. We're made to worship. You go, well, what's the proof of that? I would say, look at your bank account. I would say, look at the time you spend in a day. I would say, open up your phone right now and look at how many hours are spent on that little device that you scroll through for hours on end and end and end, trying to find something that'll be a distraction to you so that you don't have to deal with whatever life is. That's something that you can say, I'm not worshiping my phone. You're bowing down to it every time you click it on and you start flipping. Half-hearted amens. So true. So true. What do you give yourself to? What do you spend your resource on? I don't even care if you don't have a lot of resource. You're spending it on something. Your time. What do you have? Do you have talents in your life? What are you spending those on? Maybe you're smart. Maybe you've got a good head on your shoulders, and I'm going to do something with my life, and I'm going to figure out how to prove that there's value to me, or I'm going to figure out how to make money in life and be secure. Like, you are giving yourself to something, and maybe it's not that. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's just, who in the world can I look to try to give me the affection and the love that I need, that it settles me and makes me feel like there's value to my life? The list goes on, but I hope I don't have to beat the horse to China. I'm beating it into the ground, but you get that there's something you're giving yourself to. And the only thing I would say is God is saying, I made you. I know what's best for you. If you give yourself to me, you're actually going to find life. Other things that are good things, getting in the way of a best thing becomes a bad thing. It becomes a thing that makes you lose life and not thrive in life. Because you weren't made for those things. You were made for him. And so you only find fulfillment and real satisfaction in him. And you go, well, it's a command. Like, God's commanding you to do it. What is he? Is he, like, so preoccupied with himself that he just has to make everything about himself? No. He made you. He's a God of love. He made you out of his love. He made you for his love. And he knows that love is the only thing that'll keep you in this life. And if you'll give yourself to it, that's where you're fueled to live in the greatest way you possibly can. And when you don't, you're actually robbing yourself of the fuel that you need to live out the purposes that you're here for. So he's saying, listen, you got to seek me. Seek me. Not anything else, me. Jesus said it this way in the New Testament. He said, put me first. Not that other things don't have value, but I need to be supreme on your heart. He also said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, all of your strength. See, because him in his rightful place of worship puts my life in a position where it can be blessed. And if you want to keep life simple, that scripture I just quoted from Matthew 6:33, just live it out. Just fight to keep Jesus in his rightful place in everything that you do and all the things that you're thinking and the dates that you want to go on and the jobs that you want to pursue. God, what do you have for me? What would you like from me? How do I do this? Just inviting him in because it's relational. He's not interested in you trying to be religious and just do a bunch of do's and a bunch of don'ts. He's saying, can we talk about this? I care about you. I love you. I want to share my heart with you. But if you're not talking back to him, it's a one-way relationship. How many of you have ever been stuck in one-way relationships? They're actually kind of depressing, right? If you're trying to give to somebody and they're not giving you anything back, like, Jesus came into the world, and we can pursue him because he pursued us. He's saying, I've pursued you. Now, what are you going to do with this love that I've made real to you? And a lot of us just go, I'd rather look at my phone. This person that I kind of think I'm maybe supposed to marry or at least enjoy spending time with, they're more important than you. It's just easier to deal with. It's easier to manipulate. It's real. It's tangible. And he's going, I know, but if the tangible gets in the way of the intangible, you start to lose. So, Why does God say, pursue me, because he wants to be found? How are we supposed to do it? We got to go at him. We have to go for him. We have to pursue him. We're pursuing something in life, but just make him the end of it all. But then you say, well, what does that begin to look like? And this is just practical. This is for somebody that maybe is new to your faith. How do you grow in this relationship with God? Well, you got to pursue him, but what does he give us to pursue him with? This thing right here is the most important. This is the most important thing right here. This is the only sanity. This is the truth. We all have realities that are meaningful to us, that seem true to us, but they're not really true. They're just our reality. The only thing that's going to stand and last into eternity are the words that he's spoken. It's ultimate reality. It's the only thing that we can base how we live by. And if you don't know it, you'll never know him. The things I'm telling you are just things I've read time and again, and I'm just kind of regurgitating and saying, this is true, not just because it's true. It's true because I put my hope in it, and it's real. I can tell you it's real. It's the most real thing that there is in this world. Put your hope in it. Then we have a prayer meeting on a Tuesday night, but prayer, communing with God, is the other way. This is one of the things that God's given us so that as we're pursuing him, it's one of the ways that we pursue him. We pursue him through taking in truth. We pursue him and taking that truth and beginning to bring it to him and say, who are you? How does this actually apply to my life? Can we talk about this? I don't understand how I'm supposed to let go of this relationship that means so much to me and hold on to you when this seems more real than that. Like, it's just talking to him about the truths that you're taking in. And he's going, this is good. Let's talk. The more you talk to him, the more you'll encounter him. The more as you pursue him in that way, you're going to know him. But then it's also this. It's getting together with other people. Some of you might be here tonight, and you don't really have any Christian friends. I just had somebody in my office this past week, and they're really struggling, and they have a kid. And I said, who do you have around you? Who's in your world? Who do you know that can stand with you and strengthen? And they're fighting through so much. For the relationship with the guy that's not really in a good place or whatever. And who's around you? I don't really have anybody. You need friends. You need Christian friends. Not just somebody you can go. I know somebody in Florida that I call like once every 3 months. No, you need somebody like in your life now, today. The Bible says as long as it's called today, encourage one another. I need somebody that's going to say, hey, the stuff that you read and the way that you called on God, it's true. And let me like build on that. Let me stand with you. Let me pray for you. Let me throw some more scripture at you. We need people around us that are going to help us as we're pursuing God to encounter him. Because sometimes I encounter God through the people that he puts in my life. That's true. There's different ways of pursuing him. You pursue him through serving. Before you guys came in here, do you know that there was a group of young adults that were standing in here and they were praying over you? They took time tonight to pray over you. Say, God, make yourself real to them. Meet us in a way that'll encourage people, to inspire them to trust you. They're setting the tables up. They're going to do things to just keep the thing flowing. And so they're here to serve. Another way that you find God is through service. Luke was trying to encourage you to... Actually, I sign off on every bill that goes through the church. And when he was saying, people are saying, do these young people, like, do they value, like, what's going on? Oh, of course they do. I go, well, I'm looking at the opportunities they have to give, and I don't know what any of you personally give, but I can, from the finance department, go, like, do the 20s give? That's like, actually, no, we're losing money with them. Like, they don't just not give. Like, as the pastors of the church, I know what it is to be a young adult. I know what it is to work 3 jobs and not have a whole lot of money and try to figure out how to pay rent and try to figure out how to pay tuition. But I will say this to you. You got to figure out how to honor God with whatever little you do have. That's not a pitch for this church. That's a pitch for his blessing on your life. That's a pitch so that you'll know the reality of who he is through your giving. Because you'll experience it. God says, test me with giving. I'll show you that you can never outgive me. That's his word. So you can get one of the ways that you encounter God and you pursue God is through giving. There's a lot of different ways. And I'm just reminding you of the practicality of it. Because now I just want to move into just how does this now play out in your life on a daily? When it says, you'll find me when you seek me with all of your heart. There's a God who wants to be found. There's a heart that he's given you that can connect to him. And there's a will that you have that can exercise the pursuit. So you're in charge of how much of him you have. But here's what I found to be challenging. Come off a mountaintop experience, come back to reality, start to grind out life, and do you know who you're really dealing with? It's not the world, it's you. It's who you are in the world that you're in. And that makes it so challenging, at least for me. You have to figure this out for yourself. That's what makes it so challenging for me to consistently pursue God. Because as I'm pursuing him and then something doesn't go my way or some issue of my past comes up or some person treats me in the wrong way, all of a sudden I lose perspective on God and I start to lose heart in trying to press in to know him. And then I can kind of go into a place of just being neutral and then it gets really ugly and then I find myself deep in a hole and then I'm like, Jesus, where are you? He's like, I haven't gone anywhere. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Where have you gone? And so often we drift and we go into places of just neutrality or we just go off the rails and go in a completely different direction because as we're trying to pursue God, here's what I found. People get so disappointed with God. They get so discouraged as they're trying to pursue him because everything doesn't fall in the picture that they want, when they want it, how they want it. And they're saying, well, I'm supposed to be finding God, but I'm not finding him the way that I want to. Can I just tell you something? We're all selfish. Most selfish person in the room is me. I've done this a lot longer than all of you, so I'm not downing you. But I do want to say this about, like, there's generational realities that people kind of have. And I'm probably going to get a bunch of people to turn me off right now, but I got to say it in a loving way. Do you know how self-consumed you guys are? Do you know what that phone that you look at and all the selfies that you take and all the things that you do to compare yourself to other people? It's just me, 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 me. We're automatically like that, like we all are. That's just the nature of sin. But it's like your generation has had like complete dynamite and gasoline thrown onto the blaze, and it's just consuming. And so when you're pursuing God, you say you're pursuing God, but you're really pursuing him to bend to what you want. And God is going, yeah, I'm God, you're not. Like, I see the beginning from the end. I know what's best for you. And as you're pursuing me, I'm encouraging you to pursue me so that I can work into you the things and out of you the things that are going to help you to know me and really know me and really encounter me in the way that's best for you. See, and there's a degree of faith that we all have to have for that. Amen?
Amen?
Because oftentimes, I think I understand and I know and I filter it all through my experience. And as a result, I then begin to sit in judgment on God. You know, when Luke was telling you the story about his struggle, I remember saying this to him. I go, Luke, I'm proud of you. Actually, like, this is awesome. That means you're not just going along with the way things are. Like, you're thinking. That's good. But when he would sit and ask me questions, I'd say to him, son, listen, I can take any question, so can God. But when you ask a question like you're judging the God that you're asking the question to, you're elevating yourself over him like you can hold court on him. And your brain is about this big, you're 14. Like, what do you know? You haven't even experienced life. You're philosophizing things that you haven't even lived out, and it's really kind of silly, so I'm just encouraging you. You know, ask all the questions you want, but would you take a posture of humility in it? And so I would just remind all of us, like, we can go through our lives, and as you're going through the grind and you're beginning to pursue God, I'm just saying to you, pursue him today, pursue him tomorrow. But there's going to be opposition today. There's going to be opposition tomorrow. And what that opposition is going to do, it's going to challenge what's going on inside of you. And that's a great thing. That's the best thing for you. Because if there's something in you that's grinding you in a way that's robbing you of peace and making you lose joy and questioning your understanding of God's love for your life, that's the stuff he's actually allowing these circumstances to draw out so that you can get rid of it and deal with it so that you can actually walk in to pursuing him in a way that is going to allow that life to flow. You know, I'm going to close on this. I was about 24 years old. And I'd been through a lot in my life. I had gone through a bunch of challenges and just tried to keep my eyes on Jesus. But I got to a point where I really got super discouraged. I was like, you know what, God? I don't care what this is. I'm going to press in and I'm going to pursue you and you're going to be faithful and it doesn't matter. And I, in probably for a year and a half of my life, the harder I went on, the more empty I got and the more disillusioned I became. And the more disillusioned I got, I was like, I'm going to pull myself up by my bootstraps. I'm going to keep pursuing you, God. I don't care how I think. I don't care how I feel. You're faithful. And then I'd wake up and just be like, I hate this. Like, my life is horrible. I don't want to see another day. I even said this. I'm worse off after becoming a Christian than I was before I became a Christian. Why? Because this love that I sought was so, because really, if we're going to reduce God to a word, it's love, right? And we're made for love. So what we want is love. And when we're pursuing God, if we're pursuing him and we don't feel that love, it then makes us feel like we're either an exception to the rule or God's not faithful to us. And so we have to stop and say, wait, has he changed? Or am I an exception? Or is there something off? For me, there was something off. And I would say for you, as you continue to pursue God, if this hasn't happened, maybe not in the same way it did for me, but in your life, if you're not waking up in the morning going, there is a God who's waiting to meet me. He loves me. The highlight of my day is time in his presence. The highlight of my day is time in his word. The highlight of my day is waiting on him and getting with other people and encouraging them and letting them encourage me. And how can I give and how can I serve and whatever. The things that help to foster the seeking God, those things become like amazing. Like I get excited to do it when things are right. But I was challenged. Because there was stuff going on in here that was blocking my ability to pursue him in a way that was effective and helpful. And I just want to take a second and say this to you, and then I'm done. I remember going to a meeting. I went to a meeting, and there was thousands of people in this room. And the meeting was supposed to be like this meeting of encounter. That's how it was built. Like, you're going to meet God in this meeting like never before. You guys come here, you don't want to hear a sermon. You want to meet God. You want to worship him. You want to love one another, and you want to experience his love, right, in some way? What good is a meeting if you're not going to meet God? So I was like, that's my meeting. I'm going to that meeting, and I was kind of at one of the lowest points of my life. And I'm like, I'm good. So I go to this meeting, and I'm sitting in listening to the guy preach, and the guy says, he reads from Genesis 32. He's talking about Jacob wrestling with God. And he said, there's a person in this room tonight that needs to wrestle with God to get from God what God promises to give. And I was like, bro, I've been wrestling. That is me. He's talking to me right now. And he goes, don't you leave this room. We're going to pray over you and you're going to meet God. I'm like, I'm down. They line people up. And when I say line people up, there's thousands of people in this room, but it's a big conference room, and there's probably 150 people, I'd say, lined up. And I'm somewhere in the middle of the pack. And I'm looking down the line like this, and they're coming up and they're praying for people, and people are dropping like flies. I'm like, good Lord, what is going on? So people are dropping. They're coming up praying, dropping. They get up to me, and the guy prays for me, and I stand. I'm like, oh, I'm ready to drop. Nothing, the guy next to me drops. And then everybody else on the other side. So I'm like, okay, God, I got this. I know, I understand what you're doing right now. You're testing me. This is a wrestling match. I'm going to go hard. I'm not going home until you bless me. I can't tell you how many of those lines I stood in. I can't tell you how many hours of prayer went on. The guy at the end, who was the guy preaching, that talked about Jacob, he prayed for me, I don't know how many times, but he gets up to me at the end, and he just looks at me, and it's about 11:15 at night. This thing started, I think, at 7 o'clock. Look, we were there. And he is like, you again. I said, I'm not leaving until I find my blessing. Puts his hand on the small of my back. Starts to use the other hand to leverage my head. Trying to, like, help me to go down. So listen, I'm sincere as can be. I'm not faking nothing. So he starts bending me, and I'm like, get off of me. I finally open up my eyes. I go, what are you doing? He's like, stop being proud. Stop resisting the Holy Spirit. Just go down. I was like, get out. You know what? That was it. In my mind, I'm like, you know what, God? I sat here, I wrestled, you weren't faithful. I walked out of there. When I say angry is not even a good word. I was beside myself. As I was driving home, I am literally pounding the dashboard of my car saying, you know what? You're no different. This is, you have to know a little bit of my background to understand this. You're no different than my father. Like, my dad adopted me. I knew he never loved me. I knew I watched him love my other brothers and sisters. And I go, this is exactly, you let me into your family, but you won't love me. This, what am I was better off before I knew you. I was so mad I could not even see straight. I don't even know how I fell asleep that night, but I did. And when I woke up the next morning, I literally was just like, and you're giving me another breath. Are you kidding me right now? And then I felt like God speak to me. It didn't happen often. But I felt like he speak to me and said, what else would you like for me to do for you? What more can I do for you? I've given you my son. I've given you my spirit. I've given you my word, and you have a measure of faith. If you will trust my words, my spirit will make alive in you what you're hoping for. But you just accused me of being like your father. See, that's been the problem. I'm just saying this to you right now. Pursue God with everything that you have. But don't accuse him of not being anything other than faithful. The problem does not lie with him. The problem lies with what's going on in your head. And all of us, when the Bible says, seek God with all of your heart, it's not just seek God. Seek him with all that you have. Seek him with all of your thoughts. What makes up the heart? Your thinking, your thoughts make up your heart. Your feelings make up your heart. Your thinking and feeling leads to choices, your will. What makes up your heart are your thoughts, your emotions, and your will. Your life is a reflection of those things converging and bearing fruit. What you do is a reflection of what's inwardly going on inside of you. And in my pursuit, I wasn't giving him the benefit of the doubt. And I wasn't taking the time to say, what are your circumstances trying to show me right now about me? I was demanding, listen, this is what I need you to be. This is what I need you to do. And if you're not going to do it, as sincere as I was, if you're not going to do it the way that I want to do it, then I'm out. And God's going, you're not pursuing me. You're pursuing your agenda, not mine. I'm trying to make my agenda real to you. But the stuff that's going on is in the way. Can we have a conversation about that? And I had to humble myself and say, Jesus, please forgive me. Please forgive me. You've reflected to me the Father. You've come to help me to encounter him. I'm trying in sincerity to pursue you, and I'm frustrated in the process. The frustration has to do with what's going on inside of me, what's going on in my heart. And see, to find him, there's something that has to happen inwardly in our hearts where things emotionally get set straight, thinking gets lined up with what's true. And as we trust in it, he begins to bend and shape and twist us and straighten us out. Can I tell you, that moment where I repented and said, God, forgive me for accusing you. My heart wasn't lined up with you. Forgive me for accusing you of being something different than you are. And then wondering why my experience, when I'm saying, why don't you love me? I don't even know you the way that you say you are. And I actually accuse you of being something else. And yet I say I'm trusting you. That's being double-minded. Do you get that? I hope you do. Because that's really important as you're pursuing God. Father, I thank you tonight for your word. Your word says that if we'll seek you with all of our heart, we'll find you because you want to be found. And I thank you that every person that's sitting here tonight is an object of your incredible love, undescribable, amazing grace. And God, I pray that you would begin to stir something fresh in all of our hearts that would help us to want to draw near to you. You say that if we'll draw near to you, you'll draw near to us. But what we bring to you is us. What we bring to you is our heart. And that's where the issues of life are. We can pursue you, but God, we're pursuing you through what's there. My prayer is tonight that you would help people to begin to pursue you like never before. But in their pursuit, God, that you'd begin to help them sort through the issues in their heart that get in the way of you making yourself more real to them, you making your affection and love more real to them. There's so many obstructions, God. Some of it we're aware of, some of it we're not. But I thank you that you're patient and you're kind with us. Is there anybody that's here tonight? I want to pray for you. And I know something about this. That's why I want to pray for you. If you're frustrated with your pursuit of God, and there is just like you feel like you're trying, but you feel like God's in some way withholding, or you're not experiencing that love the way that this verse challenges us to trust him for, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Is there anybody in here like that? So would you do this if you're standing? Could you just, if you're comfortable to do this, if you're not, I'd still encourage you to do it. Just, I was a little baby back there I was holding before I came up, just like a little kid reaching out for your father. Can you just lift up your hands? It's biblical. The Bible says, I wish people everywhere would raise up holy hands and pray. And it's just a picture of surrender. It's a picture of need. It's a picture of desperation. That's the only direction we can reach out that's actually going to make a difference in our lives. God, as people are reaching out for you, God, I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for your patience. But I thank you, God, that you're not a man that you should lie. You love them far more than they'll ever love you. You've reached out for them and done for them, God, far more than they're even aware. But Lord, tonight I pray there would be just a new chapter that would begin to turn in their lives, like it happened for me at 24, where I began to see it for what it is. You have given your son. And because of your son, I have your spirit in the most personal, intimate place, my being. And you've given me your word to challenge my perspective. And God, faith, as we go through life, as we seek you today, as we're going to have to seek you afresh again tomorrow and the days to come, that faith, God, I'm praying tonight for. I'm praying that you would strengthen my brothers and sisters' faith, God, that they would keep looking to you, that they would keep pressing in, that they wouldn't listen to a voice of an enemy, and they wouldn't look at the discouragements of life and what's been and what they think will come, but that they would keep their eyes solely on you, God, that they would draw nearer to you because you long to draw nearer to them. And whatever the complexities are of the heart, God, sort through it. Help them to see it as you did for me. Do for them, God. That they would pursue you. That the delight of their life would be the pursuit of you. And God, I don't just pray that over the people that are standing. I pray that over every person that's sitting here. God, each and every one of us, we need to pursue you in that kind of a way. That is life. That's where we live. That's where we thrive. God, I pray that you would make us a people who pursue you. Make us a people that pursue you. And help us in the stumblings as we pursue you to get our grounding and to stand strong and to allow your spirit and the truth of your word to do its work. That we would know you, that we would know your love, and that we would live to proclaim it everywhere we go. Lord, these things we trust you for. In Jesus' name, can we say amen?
We hope you are encouraged by today's message. To connect with us, visit our ministry page at brooklyntabernacle.org, or you can follow us on our Instagram at sanctusnyc.